Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
All right, 3, 2, 1...
That one.
See, I heard you late.
Really? Oh, because then I heard you, but it was on time. Hey, man, technology.
I don't understand.
Well, hey, here's our beta. Oh, shit, I turned my audio up too much. All right, yeah. Had a little daytime moonshine over here at the Learning Annex.
Oh, yeah?
Over here in Desi Wu Studios.
You mix them with
Desi
anything?
That's the studios that Desi Arnaz and the Wu-Tang Clan started. Desi Wu Studios.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least. Well, this is our beta. This is our beta test for everybody. At least you got a desk. Mm-hmm. I'm just
got a nice little desk.
Staring down the barrel right now.
Okay.
I was going to do a green screen for this, but like I told you in the pre-call, I was watching a surf documentary, and so I put up my surf tapestry.
Okay. Which surf documentary?
It's about Laird Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. That dude's a badass.
That guy. Man, everything about surfing, I'm just like, those guys are just cool. Like, they're just
I was thinking
cool
about guys. Surfers yesterday because we watched Jaws, and it never – I guess it dawned on me, but I always forget. Like, surfing in and of itself seems difficult enough. What with the athleticism and what being able to swim that well and being that far out. Yeah. But then you got to worry about sharks getting you.
Dude, my cousin is an avid surfer. And by avid, he's broken his eye socket and his neck. And
ooh.
But he's the super enthusiastic dude that I put on Instagram that's a personal trainer and like one of his workouts.
Yeah.
Like, just put on Iron Maiden, dance around. All right, I can get behind this kind of workout. The Maresca way on Instagram, if anybody's curious. But yeah, he was telling me stories about just like, yeah, you're out there on your board and you just see him swim underneath you. And there's like, all right, nothing you could do other than make sure you don't fall off. Like, oh, man.
That's got to be terrifying.
Oh, yeah. It's terrifying to say it. I wish I could do it, dude. I wish I could, like, it just look, those dudes, and like, in everything, like, imagine the thing, like, I was comparing it to, like, you know, some people get on that art side of comedy where it's like, man, it's just what I have to do. I'm compelled to do it. And it's like what my soul needs for me to exist. Mm-hmm. And then like, that's like the surfers are like, yeah, it's what my soul needs to exist. So that's why I just had to drop everything and leave my wife and move to Tahiti for 3 years. And it's like, wow, this is why I stand next to a nacho cheese machine. Waiting to be called on stage. Like the romanticism is so far gone. I'll plug old Sam Talent's book called Running the Light, which is about just a washed up comic. And if he got the details of doing shit gigs and waiting to go on so well, it's great. Anyway. Oh
yeah. I can't wait to read that. I love Sam. Hey, speaking of extreme athleticism, Katie got my bike repaired as a secret little gift. I woke up one morning and it wasn't a lot wrong with that. I had an issue with the chain and I needed a tire pumped up and a few minor things, but we got a bike shop literally across the street.
Oh, yeah.
She took it over there, got it fixed in an hour or two, and it was all waiting for me when I woke up, and I got a bike lock and I got everything going, man. And then I'm back out on the streets.
Buddy. As I've said in a previous episode, take advantage of these somewhat empty streets. Well, we still have them, and go see your neighborhood by bicycle. I'm glad you were doing that, Dave.
Yeah, man. The only problem is I got to get a new helmet. That one you gave me is just a tad too small. It doesn't sit all the way down on my head. Therefore, the straps under my chin can't reach and connect.
You can adjust those straps, you know.
Well, I think I've got it stretched out as far as it's going to go.
It did look a little bit like a thimble on a grape when I brought it over there. We're on video. Michael, the editor, yeah. Get me a picture of a thimble on a grape on the screen now. No promises, but dude, to the listener, but we're trying a video again.
I'm having a blast.
Yeah?
Just riding around the neighborhood. Katie got herself a bike. I don't know what style or what you would call it, but it's kind of one of those old Wicked Witch of the West bikes. It's got a little basket on front.
Oh, yeah, sitting up tall. It's a comfortable way to ride.
What's it called?
Probably a cruiser.
A Virtue. Virtue is the brand name. Seven speed.
That's a nice cruiser.
And she's got a bell, too.
That's a nice Long Beach cruiser. That's like the kind of like when you saw the dude in like a Snoop Dogg video that had half-finished braids on a nice on a nice cruiser. Like, yeah, these guys.
Yeah.
These guys seem real chill. I got
like in Friday when he's talking about the beach cruiser. And he's like, it's like it's both ours. He's talking to Zeus. Yeah, that's a deep
pull. Oh, from the movie Friday. They were just like, from Friday. Yeah, the movie I'm like, Friday. What happened on Friday? I wasn't around.
No, when what's the character's name? Debo. Debo stole that one dude's bike. And the guy's like, Pops is tripping. He wants me to ask you for my bike back. And the guy's like, it's my bike. And he goes, well, it's like it's both ours. Pops is asking about the beach cruiser.
Dude, I got out today. It's been, I mean, I've been doing neighborhood rides and road rides, but I got out on a legit mountain bike ride today.
Oh, yeah? You went shredding?
Well, I wouldn't say I was shredding after 2.5-3 months off, but it felt good, man. In fact, it'd been so long since I did something. Like normally, you know, when you have an activity you participate in regularly, like, oh, I know my checklist. I know where everything is. I was I was like a new mom leaving the house. Like, what, do I have this? Where are my keys? Do I have my phone? What? Oh my God. Did I leave the baby on the car? What happened? Real stupid. I started down the descent and had to stop 3 times because I didn't pull my knee pads up. I didn't air down my tile. It was buffoonery, but I'm like in a, just such a happier mood right now because of it. I know the world's shit, but man, I took care of my own today. So at least good in my tiny little corner, I'm feeling a little bit better. I don't know. Are you looking right at the camera? What are you doing?
I don't know. I mean, the camera's right there. I'm trying not to make eye contact. You know, it's you're a professional actor. You know, ignore the camera.
I guess.
Pretend it's not there.
But then for this, I don't know. I was watching an Andrew Schulz video where he just looks right at the camera and tells you how it is.
Yeah, so he lay it down.
Yeah, I love it when comedians have it all figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? That's someone with a lot of life experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's not someone who's fucked up everything else in their life. I don't know, man. I got an issue with comedians that like I like comedians that retain a sense of curiosity, not a sense of like I got this figured out. Which I'm guilty of in my own right, but anyway, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I have that problem. I don't have much figured out.
No, this is my personal preference. Those are the comedians I like to watch, is comedians trying to figure it out, not comedians that have it all figured out. Because that's like, well, it gets me bad when like people are like, oh, man, that comedian, he said it right. No, he oversimplified something to make it a little soundbite that you laughed at, and then you think that's a great philosophy. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to open a door to a way of thinking, but I would never like run on a platform of comedian solutions. Except for Rob Wheeler, who's a comedian in Chicago, who talked about there's potholes, you should just drive through the toll booth with your coins in your hand and throw the coins directly into the potholes because the potholes would be fixed by the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, actually, that one works. Give me a picture of potholes. Show me a picture of potholes. I'm really trying to utilize this video component, by the way, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm going to... Hold on, quick pause right here.
Sure.
Sorry,
Work it out.
I had a tickle in my throat since we started, and then that. Okay, we can go back.
I think we got cut off. What are you mixing that moonshine with?
That moonshine, you know, it's been my Boogie Monster special. It's been whatever booze I want, and then LaCroix and then a splash of fruit juice if we have it. Rachel got some. She got some pineapple juice and orange juice around here for some fun mixers. So I threw a little pineapple juice in there, but that's not a moonshine mixer.
I like pineapple juice.
I like pineapple juice too, but moonshine tastes like a structure fire. this just tasted like the Dole plantation was burning down. It wasn't complimentary. Let's just say it wasn't complimentary.
Oh man.
Structure fire, a phrase made popular to me by the late great Bradley Nowell of Sublime, Long Beach original.
How did he use structure fire?
He just was singing about the riots. And singing about how he looted everything he wanted during the 91 riots.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 91?
92.
Oh, God. Thank God we're taping this. Thank God this is the
work
day.
Work it out,
falling
buddy.
Apart physically. I lost my good lawn chair. I was taping everything out in the studio here.
What do you mean you lost it?
It fell apart.
Oh,
those, okay. I mean, I'll tell those $10 camp chairs that you see out on sale for in front of like a grocery store.
Yeah.
If they last you longer than 2 weeks, be happy.
Yeah. See, I got a good one because I had to invest in the big boy, the reinforced chair. So it's lasted me several years now. Yeah. It's a good one.
I watched my buddy Bob sitting like a shitty one. It wasn't even the chair's fault. He's a bigger fella. And it was like a muddier campsite. And he didn't even realize that he was just slowly sinking into the ground until he tried to get up like after 3 hours of drinking and realized he was just sitting flat on the ground. At that point, he's like, I can't get up. He didn't even know he was stuck.
Like quicksand.
Oh, yeah. So what you had a lot going on with your week. I didn't have so much around here.
Busy week over here, dude.
Busy week at the Stoneburg compound?
Yeah, dude. A lot going on. I had a SWAT call out on the block.
You called it?
No, I didn't call
you
it.
You're calling yourself the SWAT team now?
No.
I was out there with a pastrami sandwich and a slingshot just waiting to take down a perp.
it shut down the whole block for about 4 or 5 hours earlier in the week. I don't know, maybe 10 doors down, something happened. I didn't get all the details but I was on the, I got a new, police scanner app. So I've been messing around with a police scanner app trying to, see what's going, you know, it's a resource for my neighborhood watch. And, I didn't catch all the details, but basically I think there was some sort of domestic violence disturbance and, brandished a weapon inside his, I don't know if it was his apartment or his girlfriend's apartment. But anyway, there was at least one or two dudes armed with guns inside the apartment, refusing to come out. And the SWAT team showed up and they had the whole block, sectioned off where, with the police tape and whatnot. And
cool trucks out.
Oh yeah, they had the trucks and they had the long guns.
Did they repel?
And snipers.
Were they repelling?
I didn't see any rappelling, but it lasted about 4 or 5 hours, and I think eventually they determined that the guy was no longer on scene, so it was a bit of a letdown. They didn't catch the perp, at least not in that moment. I don't know if they caught him after the fact, but a lot of excitement going on with that. Oh, I'll go ahead and say this. What the fuck do I care? Got in a huge fight with the family. Big fight with the family this week. Why? The sister-in-law, not the sister-in-law I usually complain about.
No, her name's Barbara.
Oh, yeah, Barbara. Yeah, she's like a sister-in-law.
She's
Barbara.
Like a sister.
This isn't Barbara.
In the fact.
This is my brother's wife, who I've never really had any conflict with, other than she treats me, I don't know. We've never had any conflict, but in 20 years, she's just always kind of had this vibe of like, ugh. Whenever I'm around, which is fine. I got enough friends. We don't have to be friends. As long as you're good to him, what the hell do I care?
Yeah, you don't need everybody to like you.
And I don't know if I mentioned this before on the Boogie Monster, but she's just got a hat. She refuses to wear a mask when she goes out in public to the grocery store. Just refuses and lives with my man. And this is the same woman who I've praised, who's taken great care of my mom, and I'm forever indebted to that. I appreciate the hell out of all that she and my brother have done to take care of my mom post my father's death. But for whatever reason, she just refuses to wear a mask when she goes out in public to the store and whatnot. And I had the gall to raise my hand and question that. And you, boy, World War III, what an asshole Dave is. And because she's smarter than the Mayo Clinic and the CDC. They act like I'm just making this shit up.
So she doesn't wear the mask out to the store or in the house around your mom. She lives with your mom and your brother. Like,
yes.
Obviously with your brother, but with your mom also. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And as anybody knows, elderly people are definitely vulnerable to this. And my mom even more so with all her health issues. My brother is vulnerable. He's got Crohn's disease and lung issues. But yeah, for whatever reason, not wearing a mask. And I didn't make a huge deal of it. I just, you know, either I said to my, and first of all, my mom's the one that brought this up to me. Yeah. And so I was just curious. I mentioned to my mom that, boy, that's weird and that's odd. And I think I mentioned, we definitely talked about it, if not this podcast, my other one, the Stonebergs. But at the same time, being fairly diplomatic about it, you know, not, last thing I want to do is shit talk people who have helped my family. But at the same time, I can't help but be curious as to why you refuse. What a weird, stubborn hill to die on.
Is your are they like conservative folks?
Yeah, they're conservative, definitely. But
because it's become a political issue, not a common sense one.
Exactly. Where, but the thing is, I don't. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no, because I was just like, I went on my bike ride today, and like, all right, I got a thing around my neck that I was pulling up if I was going by people, but I also read. You know, it's been like 2.5 months or however long we're into it now. And I read one thing like, well, it's not really contagious if it's outside. I read one article that made it sound like if you're outside with movement, it's not really as much of a concern as we thought because the wind dissipates the particles.
Yeah.
And so I took that to mean like, outside's cool.
I get that.
And I was not, I'm not very responsible with a mask. Outside. I have not been going to a store. I don't go to the store. Mm-hmm. I haven't been doing that. If I was going into a store, I'd have a mask on. If I was, you know, but I, you know, Rachel's got asthma, so we talked about that. And, you know, there's been moments where she's been like, oh, you don't have a mask on again. Well, how about it? I'm like, well, I forget, but truly forget.
Yeah.
We're not leaving the house that much. I'm like, oh, shit, I got to have this with. But I feel like in some places, it has taken on this political representation of like,
oh,
well,
absolutely.
I trust the people that Trump hates, so I'm going to wear a mask. And if you're like on that side, you're like, forget what the studies are. This like it says something about you politically, and that's how people are using it. Like it's my fucking freedoms that are at risk right now. It's like, well, then
bullshit. Your freedoms aren't at risk with a mask.
Enjoy your like, don't wear a seatbelt then.
This is my point that I was trying to make with the family. Like I get how a lot of this is a complex political issue. For example, the economy. I get both sides of the coin. I get the people that are like, hey, let's stay locked down as long as possible to really make sure that this thing runs its course. And I also get the people that are like, hey, I need to get back to work because my family's starving. I get that. I don't see how this is a political issue in that. Just wear a fucking mask when you go to the store. Like I said, I don't expect you to wear it 24/7, even if you're jogging or biking, that's one thing. But when you're in a confined area with other people, what harm? Why not just to be safe, throw on the mask? Let me tell you, if there was a 1 in a billion chance that I could go to the store without a mask, catch the thing, and give it to Katie, and she dies, 1 in a billion chance, I'm throwing on that fucking mask just to be safe.
Well,
but the odds are much greater than 1 in a billion.
I would put that 1 in a billion odds that question. I mean, there's a lot of things that are 1 in a billion odds that we're not.
Well, no, I'm saying, but even if there was a remote possibility, it's something as simple as wearing a mask. Why not? Yeah, I'm going to throw it on just to be safe.
And this,
but my point is, it's much greater than 1 in a billion.
This is where I get like I get upset at the whole meme culture where they'll say, and this is somewhat Boogie Monster related, I guess, because it's the idea of disinformation or how things are getting polarized. Mm-hmm. Like, memes, boy, don't they just sum up the thing? Same reason I was, yelling about comedians that oversimplify things. Like a meme, what an easily shareable nugget of that just culminates your thoughts and the whole like, well, you didn't like it if a baker doesn't want to make a cake for a gay couple. That's their right. But if that same baker doesn't want to let you into the store without wearing a mask, all of a sudden it's or whatever. Or, and on the flip side of that, it's like, if you think you need a gun on you at all times to be safe, but refuse to wear a mask, then you're not, it's not about safety. Like those aren't, we're enveloping groups of people to make these memes possible. We're saying that the people, all the people that have a gun are also anti-mask. We're just, we're making those two individual groups of people one to make this meme that sounds just, and now we've all of a sudden hated responsible gun owners as mad, like, because a few assholes ruin things. I mean, I did see it was a Sarah Silverman tweet where she's like, people like the Minneapolis police, they're firing tear gas at protesters because the cops murdered a dude. Yet nobody did shit when armed white dudes stormed a Capitol building.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think more historically at times where everybody's like, it's getting real scary out there. And it has been scary, but not the end. But, this shit's got me like, all right, man, this is the fucking arm yourself because the government. I'm such a hypocrite, Dave. Because the whole time I'm like, I'm like, fucking get over yourself. Sometimes the government's right about shit. Wear your mask, this and that. But I'm also like, yeah, man, maybe we need guns because maybe the tyranny is at hand. I don't know, man.
I mean, it's nuts, and I'll stop ranting about my family business. But my point is, it's almost, and they live in Indiana, but they were all acting like I was being so hyperbolic, and making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know if it's we're getting our news from different sources, or me being out here in LA, people are a little more conscious about the mask and the COVID. But they acted like, what the fuck are you talking about, like? What are you worried about? I'm like, the CDC and the Mayo Clinic both recommend people wear a mask in conjunction with other measures, with social distancing and washing your hands. But like, don't act like I'm just pulling out some weird niche conspiracy theory. 100,000 Americans have died, and you can't just take one extra little step and throw a mask on for 10 minutes when you go to the store? And if I just don't understand that, but I'm an asshole.
If Trump said we needed to wear masks, the left would be like, you're fucking ridiculous.
I mean, you may have a point
there. I think there's scientific validity, but man, everything is so politicized. I just want the good for everything. The good for, and legitimately, there's good reasons to wear masks and lock it down. But there's no good, like, the mask is such a minuscule intrusion that people are using like it's this fucking representation of oppression. Like, you, that's where I'm like, you're a fucking retard.
Yeah, yeah. It's literally the least you can do.
It's always the, well, what's next? What's next? Are they going to make us put metal plates on our cars so they can track us through a series of letters and numbers? That's where I'm like, it is such a minuscule,
Speaking of Trump, I got to throw this out there real quick. And I know we don't want to spend a lot of time on politics on this show. But I read an article that summed him up perfectly. I've never seen it put this way so simply. Some guy, what's his name? Nate White. This guy named Nate White. He's a British journalist. And he wrote this article a few months ago, but now it's starting to resurface in multiple areas. And he wrote it from a Brit's point of view of how the average British person views Donald Trump. And I know that, you know, the Patriots are like, what the fuck do we care what they think? And maybe that's a valid point. But regardless, I've never seen it put so well. Quote, Trump lacks certain qualities which the British traditionally esteem. For instance, he has no class, no charm, no coolness, no credibility, no compassion, no wit, no warmth, no wisdom, no subtlety, no sensitivity, no self-awareness, no humility, no honor, and no grace. Boy, regardless of where you stand politically, argue against that. Does Trump have any of those things? I don't think he does.
I mean, isn't that That's how they view so most well put. Americans, though?
But seriously, I mean, I've never seen all that put together like that.
We belch directly into microphones talking about ghosts. True. I mean, we fulfill several of those descriptors.
We're not the leaders of the free world, though.
No, it's like I've said, I'm not going to use up my time being mad at Trump.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. Like, I talk to my parents, and they fucking hate him, and they get all worked up. It's like, well, I'm not gonna let that take away from my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes I do, as have been noticed on the podcast. We both get upset about shit, and you're right to do so, but yeah, to get mad about something and do nothing. That's why through all this, like, I'm like, all right, been trying to find... Which charity? Another good one. National Independent Venue Association, NIVA, is a good one.
Okay,
and it's you can look at it by city and donate to individual venues, or as a whole, you can donate to the organization. Also, a cool thing is that Vans Footwear is doing now. It's $90, which is a lot of money for a dumb pair of slip-on Vans, but they have a series of slip-on Vans that are all designed by independent places. So after just the cost of making them, the rest of the profit goes to that business. It's like a small business. So I bought a pair of Vans that have the Chicago Metro logo on them, which is where I record Lose in Chicago. So go on, if you know, hey, maybe you want a pair of shoes that you want to pay too much for, but the money's going to a good place. Vans is doing a thing called Foot the Bill, and I think that's neat. So get yourself a pair,
that's awesome,
pair of cool Vans with a little design from like a skate shop or a restaurant or a music venue from your town or some place you've been to, and you get a pair of shoes. That's neat.
That's awesome, man.
So that's where I'm like, I'm pissed, and I'm also not taken into the streets to march against anything. But I can put money towards the ones that help, you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's great, man.
Thing to do.
I want to go back real quick and talk about this Minneapolis thing. Did you see the video?
No, I didn't want to.
I saw the video, and this is what, here's the twist that I didn't realize. When I saw the video, I assumed, okay, I'm sure everybody's seen this by now. But it's an officer with his knee, the victim, George Floyd, is laying face down on the ground, face up against the concrete on the ground, on the asphalt. Officer's got his bent over with his knee on the back of his neck. And for seven to nine minutes, he's just sitting there, the officer, with this stupid shit-eating look on his face, like this expressionless look. And I assumed, when I was watching this video, that A, the guy was resisting arrest, and B, he wasn't detained. He wasn't in handcuffs. And so my point was, all right, if you're trying to arrest this guy and he's resisting, you got him down, splayed out on the ground, put your knee on his neck for 5 seconds while your partner comes and handcuffs him, then you pick him up and you throw him in the car and you sort it all out from there. I just assumed that this guy was squatting on his knee, squatting on the guy's head, because the guy wasn't subdued yet. Come to find out, the dude was in handcuffs the whole time. So explain to me, officer, what is the point of just sitting on this guy's neck while he slowly dies? This is one of the worst. Like, police brutality has been an issue from day one, but a lot of these videos, and I'm not defending one side or the other, but usually there's a real gray area. Like, oh, I thought he had a gun. It turned out to be a cell phone. Ooh, we thought he was reaching for something. It turned out to be nothing. This guy's in handcuffs, face down, with that stupid fucking officer's knee on him for 7 minutes, and then the guy dies.
Yeah.
I would love to ask that officer, what's the justification for not just picking him up and throwing him in the back of the car if he's under arrest or whatever? He's already in handcuffs, and you're just going to put your knee on his neck until he loses consciousness and dies? This is one of the worst ones I've ever seen. This is much worse than Rodney King. Rodney King was awful, but you could at least articulate that, hey, all right, the guy, he was on a high-speed chase, and he was fighting back against the officers. I mean, I'm not defending that by any means. I'm saying this is much worse than
what's a worse fate for... Because they did get fired. So listen, hey, you do. If you're bad at your job, you get fired. I mean, what more do you want, Dave? I mean, I fucked up at a job and got fired. Well, murdering, you should get fired. I would say
at the very least manslaughter, but manslaughter is even too good. Like, there's just no way you can articulate that this behavior was justified.
What's a worse fate for a cop? Like. If you're being thinking in the darkness of your soul, you know, say they like, all right, they got fired, but now, okay, say they don't get jail time. Now, jail time is like, all right, you're in jail. You're a cop in jail. Everybody knows the stories that if you're a cop in jail, it's bad news. But what if you're just a guy that, like, now with the information age of doxing, like, hey, remember that cop that murdered somebody? Here's his address. Here's the name he's going by. Here's where he's trying to work.
That's already happened. There's people outside of his home today.
But I mean, for the rest of his life.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of the most clear-cut examples. Like, there's just no way you can articulate that behavior was justified.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't. I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm trying to step away from, like, you know, I handed off my Twitter password, and I'm trying to get away from this stuff as much as I'm not trying to be ignorant, but I'm like, all right, just add another ingredient to this fucking bubbling cauldron that we're all living in right now.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, dog. I got no strong opinion because I've made the choice, a mental health choice, to distance myself from that one.
No, good for you.
Nah, it's not good, but it's just like, all right, I'll read it when I'm ready to read it. But this week I was already kind of, I don't know, I was like half moping around this week, just got in the doldrums like everybody's having, you know. Again, I will reiterate, bike rides. Get out. Go see your neighborhood. Find a little path or something you can get out on. Physical exercise is good for your mental health. Seeing your neighborhood in a new way, as my buddy Kevin put it, not through the frame of a windshield, but open, where you can just stop wherever you want to stop. Not because you're in a vehicle and need a parking lot. Wear a helmet. Use lights. Please do those things. I would hate for you to go ride your bike and then get hurt because of something silly.
Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
But yeah, I was bumming around earlier this week, and so I kind of just hoisted myself out of it this morning, woke up randomly at 6:30 after not partying too much last night, but enough. And it was like, I was up. I was like, I could fall back asleep. It's like, you know what? Cash in on waking up early one of these days instead of just laying around for another 4 hours. But I'm trying to be positive, man. I'm trying to get to the positivity. I was going to watch the SpaceX launch. They were doing the first manned mission of a SpaceX thing. Bummer weather, dude. Cloudy. Yeah. It's cloudy. We're at the beach party.
Postponed it to Saturday. That'll be a cool thing to see. I didn't realize this. You know, it's been 11 years since an American's been to space.
They said it was I thought they said 2011. Is it?
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, maybe
since an American has been launched into space from American soil. I don't know. I don't know where they were. Yeah. I don't know if they were in Texas or in Florida, but
I think it was Florida.
Man, they were showing the cockpit of the SpaceX. It's called the Dragon or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Man, Elon Musk is like 99% there of something cool, and then it's like the spaceship's called the Dragon. You're like, ah, you fucking virgin. But the inside of it looked sleek. Like it looked very like a lot of. It looked like they were just inside of an iPhone. It was about to be launched into space. Which is, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he might be the guy to get the aliens to, like, they're already playing with us with the Navy pilots. The aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it into 2020. Aliens, if you're out there, 2020 is already weird enough. If you show up, you know what? 50% of people are not going to give a shit. Aliens, if aliens showed up next week, there's going to be 50%. Well, are they paying taxes? Are they registered? Do they have their concealed carry cards? Because otherwise, mm-hmm. those weapons are like, they'll be politicized. Aliens will land, and there's still going to be fucking conservatives and liberals just instantly dissecting what their presence means to their political party.
Yeah.
Oh, these aliens have no gender. Oh, great. Now we got to have a brand new bathroom for aliens. Who actually consume their own excrement and turn it into energy within their own bodies because they have an internal combusting fuel cell.
Oh, God.
Which one am I supposed to go into?
In lighter news.
Yeah, what's lighter news? What you got? What you got, baby?
Did you hear about this? You hear about this Cannonball Run? They broke the record for the Cannonball Run.
I really wanted that to be about the movie. You ever hear Cannonball Run?
I know. I love.
Hear about this movie with Dom DeLuise and
Reynolds? An Audi A8 drove from Manhattan to Redondo Beach, California, in 26 hours and 38 minutes. Shaving 20 hours off the previous time. Almost 20
hours.
That's hard to believe.
I'm assuming now they can track it so they know they're not cheating.
Yeah. And they had marine fuel tanks in the trunk, so they had extra fuel tanks. But even that, you know, all that extra fuel is going to slow you down a little bit. I don't know what the math is to that. I think that's over 100 miles an hour for 26 hours. Manhattan to Redondo Beach in an Audi A8.
I want to see the route, and I will look that up. I'm not using a computer right now, but I'm curious about that because that was the original Cannonball Run was fans like, oh, we'll get an ambulance because the ambulance can just cut through everything. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now we get some choppers going over here.
Oh, really?
Okay, we always got helicopters from downtown out to Calabasas where all the fucking clown millionaires live. They're always going back and forth. Got a lot of Kardashians going from Calabasas to the United Center. 26 hours. Obviously, only two drivers.
Yeah, I think so.
Fuck.
That's crazy. I drove from L.A. to Memphis in 2 days one time. That was my proudest moment.
I did.
I forgot what the miles was.
I did Jacksonville to L.A. in 2 days, but that was
that was
two drivers.
Okay,
that was two drivers, that's and that crazy. Was an overnight in New Orleans. Man,
I got a barbecue rant. I got a rant about barbecue, real quick.
Would you, hey, real quick, just because I'm looking out the window of my garage, would you eat a crow?
Is If I was hungry enough, I would. I don't see what the how that's a whole lot different from other poultry.
I want to shoot some of these crows, but I'd want the energy to go to a good place.
Well, I feel about crows the same way I do now about octopus and squid. I would feel weird eating something that intelligent. Crows are super smart.
Dude, they're wilding out around here. They got so many different sounds that they make. They're eating the hummingbird eggs. My neighbor said she saw one pick a squirrel off a palm tree. They're aggro. I know they're smart.
Wow.
But smart?
That's crazy.
Just because something's smart doesn't mean it's good. The phrase evil genius exists for a reason.
True.
An evil genius still scored very well on tests. He's also a dickhead.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. A lot of evil smart people in history.
Yeah, like the morality doesn't come into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to be real hungry.
They're big. They're big birds, dude.
Yeah, they are.
It's like a ham sitting up on a light post out here.
I've seen some crows that were so big, and then someone was told me you're probably seeing a raven.
We looked up the
difference.
Do
ravens and crows look alike?
We looked up the difference. They're crows.
What's the difference?
The kind of the beak shape, and then we like listened to the different calls, and mm-hmm. so we played a raven call. Crow didn't give a shit. We played a crow call, spazzed out.
Really?
Oh yeah.
That's crazy.
A lot going on. I don't know if like nature's just getting a little bit wilder because maybe there's not as much not as much automobile traffic keeping them up or keeping mm-hmm. them out of spots they would like to inhabit. So they're getting a little bit more comfortable with coming down where people are. Just mm-hmm. in general, just all kinds of nature. Like there's not as much machinery that constant hum of a human existence that's. Maybe that's something we could look up. Maybe that's something a listener can look up because I ain't doing it.
All right, barbecue rant real quick. I got some barbecue the other day for Memorial Day. And I was like, it's Memorial Day. I want to eat a hot dog or a burger or some barbecue or something.
Yeah, dog.
So I got some takeout. And I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant, especially in this weird time. I'm not interested in shitting on a restaurant and taking business away from them. So I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant.
Okay.
But this is some pretty damn mediocre barbecue, and I was so excited.
Text it to me because I know of some barbecue places in Long Beach.
Yeah, this place really sucked. But here's my point. You know what these sons of bitches did?
I don't want to say the name, but these fucking motherfuckers.
These fucking assholes. You know what the cardinal sin in barbecue is?
Rubbing your dick all over the ribs.
Well, rub is part of it. Some people are going to assume that not using wood, not smoking it with wood, that's a huge crime, right? Or using a shitty store-bought sauce, not making your own sauce, that's a big crime, all right? Technically, the biggest crime in barbecue is calling it barbecue and not using wood to smoke it.
Is it microwaving?
But the most egregious...
You don't like microwave ribs?
I don't like microwave anything. But the very least, okay, smoking, like, that's important, obviously, because that's the whole point of barbecue.
Hey, if anybody wants a soundbite from this episode, smoking's important.
But my point is, smoking is it's very laborious. It takes a long time. So here's my point. I'm not saying that that's not the biggest sin, but the very least you can do as a barbecue restaurant, the very least, is you can combine a few spices and create your own rub. Any barbecue needs to be rubbed with a spice concoction before you smoke it, and it's the simplest thing. You take some kosher salt, you mix it with some black pepper, maybe you throw in a little garlic powder, maybe you throw in a little paprika.
This is the sexiest part of the show, Dave.
It's the simplest thing you can do is to create your own barbecue rub.
Okay.
These motherfuckers sprinkled a store-bought, pre-produced rub on their meat. And it tasted like MSG and horse shit.
How?
You call yourself. And again, I get it if
MSG
like.
MSG and horse shit is my favorite thing from a Chinese buffet, by the way. What?
My point is, it's not like. I'll give Carl's Jr. a pass when they're trying to roll out their new barbecue bacon burger. You call yourself a barbecue restaurant. This is a barbecue establishment.
How did you know,
this
though?
Is what we do.
Did you watch them?
Because I've got skilled taste buds, Kyle. And there's no way that you know what I'm talking about? Like the bullshit, like Montreal steak seasoning or, you know, any of this bullshit you buy at the store. Now, I'm not saying, now, if you're a barbecue place that creates your own rub and then bottles it and sells it commercially, that's fine. But this was like store-bought McCormick hickory rub bullshit, like taco seasoning almost.
Are you
know,
sure
like
they
something
didn't
that
just
comes
mimic in. One of the greats?
No, there was no way this wasn't store-bought rub because I've eaten thousands of pounds of barbecue. You can always tell. Even if the rub's not good, you can tell, okay, there's some salt in there.
Why'd you get divorced? I got a store-bought rub.
I mean, I've never been so insulted
a hand job,
as a consumer of barbecue. Like they went to Costco and bought the half gallon shaker bottle of some sort of Montreal steak seasoning or some sort of hickory, Hickory Farms blah blah rub bullshit. Like, please stop selling barbecue, you fucking idiots.
Wow. I don't want to say insulted. It by name, but they should absolutely go out of business right now.
They should. But I'm not going to contribute to that.
I
but
don't
they,
want to
they
give
need
them a
to
hard
have their
time,
barbecue license.
But this
pulled.
Is the worst shit I've ever put in my mouth. And one time I accidentally licked my cat's asshole. But I don't want to badmouth them. I don't want to badmouth them.
I was so let down. I was because the pictures look so good, and I had such a barbecue boner. Oh
but you
boy!
Bought, so you bought? You bought it on Memorial Day, like a big day for a barbecue restaurant.
Yes.
What time of the day did you get it?
Oh, right in the middle of the day. Like, this is my point. It's not like I got the bad batch or got the bottom of the barrel. No, this could have been decent barbecue, but they slathered it in this just terrible rub.
So the meat was all right? Meat was cooked well?
No. I mean, there was a lot wrong with it. But my point is the easiest, the least you can do is put your own damn rub on there. I bought a full rack of ribs and a full pound of brisket. And they both just tasted like they were rolled in McCormick taco seasoning. It fucking sucked.
I'm sorry. I love that this is the most upset you've gotten after we've already discussed your brother and sister-in-law putting your mother in danger and the murder of an innocent black man by Minneapolis police. this is
where my priorities
this
are.
Is the, this is where Dave finally breaks. This is where Dave's had enough that somebody put store-bought rub on his barbecue.
This is
disrespectful to the veterans on Memorial Day. It's disrespectful for the troops.
I hung up on Kyle. Damn it.
We lost him.
Call me back, Kyle.
I got Dave so mad, he hung up on me.
Here we are.
On. Where'd you go, buddy?
There he is. Sorry, buddy.
I'm still laughing.
I touched my earbud again and it hung up on you.
Oh, you touched your earbuds.
But yeah, they should have their barbecue license pulled. They should be fined by the city.
Let's put it this way. Should there be a licensing issue? Now, this goes about like freedom versus government regulation in your eyes where you think something should be held up to a certain amount of quality. Should be like obviously there's a health code violation. Like you can have an A from the health department and your restaurant could be the worst restaurant that's ever existed.
Yeah.
Like you can have a sparkling kitchen where all you do is pour Diet Mountain Dew into macaroni and cheese. Which is why I don't let the health code affect my opinion of a restaurant.
No.
Like it's got a B?
Yeah.
It's good. They're too busy making delicious food to scrub behind the refrigerator. Oh, the rat footprints in the pudding is really why you come here. But do you think there should be a license for certain things? Like understanding. But also that's true. Like for barbecue, for smoking. Yeah. Like food has to be cooked to a certain temperature to be served. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. a health department, do they cover that? Like that everything's being served to a certain temperature, or do they just look at the cleanliness?
No, I mean, the health department definitely makes sure that you're cooking and holding food at a certain temperature.
I bet there's a whole
procedures involved.
I bet there's a whole world that is boogie monster adjacent that's all about the illegal operations of kitchens. Like, mm-hmm. if you think about, like, and I'm not saying this in a negative light, but like, kitchens, so many kitchens are run by illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at that end, like, all right, like they're keeping, you know, they're giving people work,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I work, you know, pizza place I work, like where I've worked at, like, yeah, that, okay. Hey, where's so-and-so? I got caught. Not going to be in for another 6 months. And it sucked because those guys were the linchpins of the business. It was fucking teenagers being stoned as shit, or boss who we parted with. And then the one dude keeping everything together.
Mm-hmm.
But like just the restaurant industry in and of itself, your kitchen staff are drugged out psychos.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, every, like I would love to just see like conservative people who just, well, there just needs to be a wall. And also there needs to be a war on drugs. I'm like, you'll never eat a decent meal again in your life. You'll never have a good meal in your life if you feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to meet a food. Mm-hmm. I want to meet a conservative foodie who thinks they're still going to get the food that they like, while also enforcing the ideologies that they think are correct. Like, I don't think that's a contradiction, is to be a conservative foodie, because everything that brought you that food is from the things you voted against.
Yeah.
I'm against gay people. Well, then you're not going to get served or sat in the restaurant. You're not going to get the fucking sommelier is going to piss in a cup. You mm-hmm. don't like illegal immigrants. Your food's not going to get cooked. You don't like drugs. Same thing with the kitchen. Anyway, fuck those guys. Man, I'm not upset about the population decreasing. I'll say it. Fucking, you know what? If Bill Gates is trying to do it, hey, Billy, go for it, man. Chip everybody. And as soon as any of them say something stupid, launch the tiny bomb in the chip. And just, being gay is just against God. Boom. Oh, sorry. Your heart blew up. Do it. Absolute fucking post-birth eugenics. Go for it, fucking Billy.
Oh, boy.
I don't give a shit. Who cares? It's the end. It's the end.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time. Hey, man, the Laird Hamilton documentary, it's called Catch Every Wave. Catch Every Wave, babe.
Where's that on? Is that Netflix?
Hulu.
Right on. Hey, speaking of restaurants, I want to shout out my buddy's restaurant. In this weird time where most restaurants are closed or only doing curbside or whatever, mm-hmm. Our comedian buddy has opened his own restaurant. He may have a partner, I'm not sure, but he's definitely a part of this. You know our buddy Chris Pierce?
Yeah.
Out of Arkansas? Just a giant sweetheart of a man.
Yeah.
He's opened his own restaurant in this terrible time to do so. And I haven't eaten. I've eaten Chris's food before. I haven't eaten at this restaurant, but I looked it up and it looks amazing. If you're anywhere near Benton, Arkansas, check out Valhalla Restaurant and Axe Throwing.
That is so
fucking
perfect.
They got sandwiches, pizza. Yeah. Get you some pizza, a sandwich, a salad, and throw some axes.
Is it Benton or Bentonville?
I'm looking at their Facebook page. No, it's Benton. Benton, Arkansas. Benton.
No kidding. Arkansas is on the other
Chris
side.
Chris has got
of the
his
curb.
Own
they're,
restaurant.
They're all open. They're all having pool parties.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're anywhere in that area, check out Valhalla Restaurant and Axe Throwing. It looks like a good time.
Dude,
the food looks amazing.
Good
he's
on
making
Chris.
Like he's making his own roasted pork banh mi's and making crazy sandwiches and pizzas and throwing axes. And Chris is a rad dude. And man, just the nerve it takes to open a business in this time, especially a restaurant. And funny comedian, rad dude.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. Chris is great. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bitcoin. Also, check out his podcast. That's a great podcast with his pal Buddy called Death Metal Dicks. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can deduce what they talk about there. It's a
Dicks meaning detectives.
Yeah, they explore a lot of
Death Metal Dicks
stuff.
Could just be like some super bloody gay porn.
Oh, Jesus. But yeah, I just, I've known Chris for a while, and when he told me he's opening a restaurant now, I was like, holy shit, you're a brave man. But
like I said,
he's also the kind of dude, he's a dude that could pull it off. So,
and that's the part of the country that's trying to be, you know, first wave back. Mm-hmm. Hey, maybe, you know what? Maybe we, on the side of the things that we're arguing, we get a great big told you so.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate for that told you so to come with another Trump term. That's what I would hate. But honestly, if Biden's our other choice, fucking whatever, dude.
Ugh.
That's two
bummed.
Sides of a same coin that I don't want to look at all.
Yeah, I've never been so unenthused about an election.
Two sides of the same turd. Well, they buried Bernie. That was my argument. Bernie was getting kind of getting shunned by all the major networks, and then everybody on the left was like, well, journalism is being prejudiced against Bernie. And it's like, yeah, remember when Trump was saying that about him? And we're all like, we need to stand up for journalists. And now we're like, journalists are kind of dog shit. Okay, well, then we have to have some concession to the fact that journalism is biased to who they know they need to be put in charge so they can retain their power in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, whole other can of worms for a different time.
Yeah. You want to vote for pig vomit or diarrhea? Pick your battle.
Yeah, what's good? What's good news, Dave? You guys are bike riding. I like that. Lock them up. Where are they? Are they in the apartment, the bikes?
No, I got a big old rad ass bike lock, and I got it out back. Got it strapped up real good, real tight.
They will get stolen.
Nah, not on my watch.
They will get.
No, I got like really one of those into. Okay, you know more about this than I do. Obviously, can one penetrate these heavy duty bike locks?
Go on YouTube and watch
the horseshoe thing.
Whatever brand of lock you bought, look it up and look at somebody breaking into it, and you'll find YouTube videos.
Because this one has a $1,750. I forgot what the details were, but you could register this lock, and if your bike gets stolen, you can insure it for $1,700. So they're pretty confident that these locks work. So
all right, well,
but yeah, I don't know. I would prefer, honestly, I would prefer to have it indoors. I'm trying to figure out like how to.
Do you have anything? Like, there's no quick release on your bike. If Katie has anything quick release on it, get it off of there.
What does that mean now?
Look at the wheels. If it's got little skewers with a lever so you can just undo it without tools, or the seat, or for the seat, adjusting the seat. If you can do that without tools, somebody will, they'll take it just to take it. It's not like it's, why would somebody want one bike wheel?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter why. It will be taken.
Yeah. Okay.
So anything with a quick release, get it off of there.
I got to figure out how to secure it indoors. Like, I'd like to hang like a rack over the front door or something and just, you know, hang the bike up on that or something.
I will walk you through all bike related items and any Boogie Monster listener.
Okay.
Don't contact me on Twitter. I know my name's still on there, but I don't respond to that. If you, you can ask in the Reddit forum where people think I'm a know-it-all, you fucking bitches. You know what I know? I know you're a bunch of little whiny bitches. That's what I know.
you'd be nice to our Reddit people.
I look at it because it's informative, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody's nice.
Hey, here's a question.
Feel free to complain. I don't want to. Hey, far be it for me to, you know, fucking communist. Far be it for me to Red China your ass just because you have a dissenting opinion about me.
Going back to bike stuff, the only problem with that bike that you gifted me, by the way, and I'm very appreciative, it's a rad bike, but that seat is so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. I don't want to know what you paid for that thing. It looks nice. It looks
no,
high.
No, man. It's just a solid bike.
I bought a new seat. I haven't put it on yet, but I bought a more, hopefully, a more comfortable seat. How do people deal with those painful ass seats on some of these bikes.
Is that
just something you get used to?
That was an on sale seat that I bought at the bike shop. That is like a race road bike seat. And for what you want to do, which is kind of just sit on the bike and kick it, you want it to be the most comfortable thing possible for bike folks. Think about your contact points, your ass, your feet, and your hands. Grips. You want grips that feel good on your hands. If you're going to be riding, get something that feels nice on your hands. Obviously, the seat is very important. People don't realize there's a lot of different types of bike seats for the different type of riding you're doing and for where your sit bones are, big ass, small ass, where the bones hit the seat. More cushion does not necessarily mean a better seat. Just like you can have a real soft bed and then your back feels like shit the next day. Same thing goes with the bike seat. You need support.
Okay.
Believe it or not. For guys, when you see that cutout in the middle, that's a good thing. You don't want to put too much pressure on your taint. You get a straight up numb dick. I have been very scared on some bike rides because I've gotten to the point where I can straight up Jim Rose a nail through the head of my dick for how numb it's been.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's scary. It is scary.
Oh, no.
It's like the stranger, but the other way around, because your dick's asleep and your hand's just like, why are we touching this? So bike shops can be intimidating because you see the guys and their gear, but ultimately like you tell them exactly what you want to do with the bike. And it's very important. Like these things are so easy to buy. The worst thing, like, oh, okay. Just a shitty thing in general to do is go to a store and be like, how much is this? And then look it up online and buy it there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you really want to think about the long-term cost of items, if you're going to save $5 by getting it on Amazon, think about, the truck that's going to drive it there. Just for anything you're going to buy, especially right now with how taxed Amazon is, and how shitty they're kind of being to their employees. I don't know if I talked about this before. Find the thing you want on Amazon, then Google that item and see if you can find the original manufacturer of who's buying it.
Uh-huh.
Especially if it's like a small boutique item or something. Because you're not taxing these Amazon people that are working, quadruple overtime because everybody's at home ordering all their bullshit. And you're supporting a business at the same time. So these are good things. Bike shops, they were deemed necessary early on, just like auto repair shops, because people use bicycles to get back and forth to their jobs. A lot of them, they're independently owned. Go in there. They will be happy to help you. If they're not, hey, fuck them. Then fuck anybody for being elitist when you're trying to run a business based on a hobby that's meant for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching High Fidelity where they're shitty to the guy looking for a record. And it's the best argument from that dude from... What's that?
Go to the mall.
What's that?
He says, go to the mall.
Yeah, but the guy that's the black dude that's arguing him, he's an actor, but he's also from what?
He's from he was in Becker and he was also in Swingers.
But he's also in a band. He's a dude from
really?
He's not in the Slackers. Is he in the He's also like in a ska band.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but like his thing is like, you guys are just jerks. You're just elitist jerks. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah,
it's funny because you side with those guys when you watch the movie. It's like, no, they're the dicks of the movie. Jack Black and John Cusack are the assholes of that movie. Anyway, so if a bike shop's rude to you, by all means, light them up. Hey, I'm just so-and-so. I wanted a thing. They're being all snobby. Fuck them then. But they should be more than...
Speaking of which...
Go ahead.
Katie tried to get me a new seat when she got my other stuff fixed. Mm-hmm. And the guy who runs this store is like, nah, you don't want to do that. So he wouldn't sell her a new seat, or maybe he didn't have one that would fit, but he basically told her, like, that's not a good idea. So then we went to another bike shop, and we bought a more comfortable seat. But this guy didn't want to sell her a new seat.
Didn't want for her bike or for your bike?
For mine. She took my bike, the one you gave me. But that might have
been because he doesn't know who you are. He's not going to just sell her a seat because he never saw you, never saw the size of your ass. He didn't know what you're working with.
Oh, he thought, like, oh, yeah, this little lady doesn't need a bigger seat. Okay.
You know, because that's a fitment. That's like saying I want to buy my boyfriend some shoes, but you don't know what size it is. Why would somebody sell you shoes if you don't even know the size?
Yeah, but she was just like, this seat's uncomfortable. We want to get a different seat. And he was just like, nah. I mean, I wasn't there, but that's what
you
said.
Well, that's a good seat. Maybe why? Maybe because it's a good seat on that bike.
Okay.
And he's like, you'd be downgraded. But also, it's like, yeah, man, it's fitment to the person. You got to know what what they look like and what shape they are and what bike they're, you know, well, they know what the bike, but maybe because of that style bike, it's like, oh, yeah, that seat fits on it, but you want something.
Yeah.
You want something that's squishy the only... for your barbecue ass.
Exactly. Yeah. I got a tender little bum. Got to take care of
it. He don't want no McCormick store-bought seasoning for that ass. He want a home rub.
Oh, geez. What else going on, buddy? Should we wrap this up? You got anything else on your mind?
Yeah, no. I don't have anything. We should talk about a Boogie Monster thing soon.
Yeah, we will eventually.
I'll talk about aliens for a little bit. That. I was trying to send it towards aliens.
I was going to talk about some stuff today, but just and not that we spent much time on this other thing, but just I've just been in such a bad mood with what's going on with this Minneapolis police thing, and I'll go ahead and talk about this. Had some other bad news this week. This is a real bummer, and we'll make this our comic of the week. I'm not going to pretend that we were best friends, but we were pretty good bros, and would do a bunch of shows together. And I've known this guy for a few years, but my buddy Richard Bain, comedian Richard Bain, took his own life this week, and that was a real fucking letdown. And by the way, I got permission from some of his close friends to reveal that information. I was like, hey, is it in poor taste to talk? He's like, nah, even if it is, Richard liked poor taste. So Richard Bain was an amazing comedian, started in Portland, been in LA for about 7-8 years, and just one of those funny dudes, just really unique point of view, really unique sense of humor. And you know, I don't know his whole struggle with whatever he was dealing with, but he made a choice on Memorial Day, Monday morning, woke up to the news that he had passed, and real bummer, and a real funny dude. Unfortunately, didn't have a special or an album out, but got a bunch of stuff on YouTube, and so check him out, Richard Bain, B-A-I-N. Just a really funny dude and a huge loss to the comedy world. And I think you even mentioned this when you and I were talking on the phone off the air. It's always weird. It feels like one of our own. Whenever one of our own goes down, that's it's hard to hard to not take that personally.
No, I mean we operate in a community full of all types of people, and in a good part of them are. You know, maybe not the most even keel and adjusted individuals, and comedy gives those people a home. Like, actually, they celebrate it, which is kind of it's sometimes ironic that comedy will celebrate the more loose screws rather than shun them. You know, anything in artistic or creative field is kind of like, this guy's a real wild card. He fits in here, as opposed to, you know, the 9-to-5 or something more square. Might kind of shut him to the side. It's more celebrated here, which is weird, because then you're like, oh, it helps give somebody, it doesn't feel like they fit in elsewhere. It gives them a home to be themselves. But on this other, you know, on the other hand, it's like, there's not a lot of, babysitting going on. Like, hey, are you all right? It's like, nah, so-and-so was nuts last night. It was fun. Like, you're not really checking in on them mentally, because everybody's kind of turned up to 11. So I didn't know him real. I was kind of surprised, not to sound like I was surprised I didn't know him better, given that we're all rotating in this familiar universe.
Yeah.
But all the stories. So like, because of that, I was like looking at all the stories and all the bits people were putting up. And I was talking to or texting with Ian Carmel, because I know he knew him from Portland. And it was just, I felt bad because all the stories I was hearing, it sounded like he was a giver. You know, like sometimes you could split people up between givers and takers. And he was a giver and not a taker. And it's always sad when you lose one of those, because that's the good team. Yeah. That's the team you want to preserve.
Yeah, so, very beloved. I mean, this affected a lot of people. He had a ton of friends in this scene here.
Yeah.
And, I'll quote one of his jokes real quick. This one always cracked me up. He had a joke where he'd say, I spilt an entire six-pack of beer on my bed last night through my dick.
Oh, man.
That's a good joke.
There was so many wacko stories coming out about that dude. Like, oh, you're just, yeah, you were turned up the whole time.
Yeah. But
burning bright,
a real
baby.
Talent, a real talent and a real loss. And rest in peace, Richard Bain, B-A-I-N. Check his stuff out on YouTube. Real shame that he didn't get to have an album or a special under his belt. I mean, he totally could have. He had, you know, tons of great material, but for whatever reason, just didn't get there yet in his career. But check his stuff out on YouTube. And if you want to get a kick, a good laugh. And yeah, rest in peace, Richard Bain, Comic of the Week. Sad stuff. But on that note, man,
he probably gave him more than a week. I mean, he fucking killed himself. At least give him the whole month.
And it's funny how comedians, you know, even with something so tragic, like some of his closest friends are really roasting him post-mortem on Twitter. Our buddy James Fritz said, well, at least Richard doesn't have to vote in the upcoming election. So he's the kind of guy that would get a kick out of some of these roasts.
You got to know them. But I would like hope. You know what? That's the irony about, like, you kind of read these memorials. And is this sick of me to think in this way? Like you would, you know, the curiosity of what people would say about you after you died. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the more, like, obviously suicide is, you know, not a great solution for things. I'm not 100% opposed to the idea if somebody's like, I just don't want to do this anymore. Like,
yeah,
get help. There's help out there and there's always ways to feel better. But like, man, I still do feel like it's a personal decision.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, if you could dictate, like, what would happen afterwards. Because, man, I would hope people are making jokes. Mm-hmm. I would hate any. I made a joke a few months ago. I'm like, whatever happens when I die, don't let the Laugh Factory say, oh, make God laugh on the billboard. Don't get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. Fucking cheese dick. You guys don't even book me. Now every time somebody dies, like, make God laugh. How about you go fuck yourself and burn down?
Oh, God.
You know, it just seems so insincere and stupid that I wouldn't want to be affiliated with them. But, like, please make the jokes. Please. God damn it. Your life's, if you're a comedian and you die and nobody knows how to make jokes about it, the whole effort was in vain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True. I'll throw this out there real quick for anybody who may need it, and there's no shame in ever taking an action to help yourself. Suicide Prevention Hotline, if you want to text the word HOME, H-O-M-E, to 741-741. Just text HOME to 741-741. They will connect you with a real live human being who will talk with you and help you through any thing that you might be dealing with in that moment.
I thought you were just going to give out the Duke's Mayonnaise website.
Yeah, no, that's the off. That's if you want to kill yourself.
Dave just keeps calling the Duke's Mayonnaise customer service line when he's feeling down.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how you really got that two-pack the other week. You're like, I just don't know, man. It's feeling really dark. I don't know. Fuck, man. Here's two of them. I don't know what you want to do with it.
All right, hung up on you again. God damn it. Are you there? No, there you are.
Yeah, I'm here, buddy.
Sorry. All right, sorry, buddy. Every time I laugh, my stupid ear pods fell out.
That's all
right. Yeah, and somebody told me to turn those upside down, so I need to probably just start doing that. But
well, put her down.
Put her down. Anything to plug? How's Yeah Girl doing?
Hey Girl? You mean Hey Girl?
Hey Girl. Hey Girl. I'm sorry. I always fuck it up.
Oh, dozens of fans.
Yeah.
Dozens of fans on Hey Girl, but we've been having a good time doing it. You know, something to do in this quarantine that's not another Zoom show where I do the same 6 minutes I've been doing for the last 2 months. Hey, if you saw it in March, you're going to see it in June, baby.
Oh, Lord. Well, good times, buddy. I got a new thing out. I've been doing this thing for a few years called The Gravy Boat, where it's just a radio show, just like an old school style radio show where I play weird country music. I pivoted this week just because I've been listening to a lot of metal and rock and roll. I've got Heavy Gravy, got the Heavy Gravy version of Gravy Boat, where I play Clutch and Melvins and Sleep and AC/DC. Just some good old dirty ass.
Thick Gravy?
Thick Gravy's probably a better, damn it. I never thought of that. That's why I should consult you with this stuff. But Heavy Gravy is available on SoundCloud.com. It's a free thing. You just go there and search Dave Stone's Gravy Boat. And nice two-hour rock and roll radio program that you can enjoy.
Heavy Gravy, no sinking the boat.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun with that. Stoneberg's podcast, me and my fiance Katie Strandberg. You can find that wherever podcasts are sold. So yeah, just trying to stay busy in this weird time. So that's what I'm up to.
All right, man. Being productive, that's good things.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Good catching up, buddy. And for those wondering, yes, we will get back into traditional boogie topics sooner than later.
People like this better, Dave. People like what we're doing right now.
Oh, really?
Apparently nobody.
Even better.
Nobody wanted to hear us half-ass through stuff that was not true.
Yeah. Instead, we just get drunk and complain.
Yeah, man.
That's the new format.
All right, buddy. I love you, man.
I love you, buddy. Take care. And thank you. Thank you for everybody for listening. Big shout out to our patrons, patreon.com/boogiemonster. By some weird turn of events, we've actually gained patrons over this quarantine. So big thanks to all you guys. And we'll have your bonus content up shortly this week or the next week. But yeah, y'all stay safe, stay sane, stay healthy, and holler at your boys.
Hell yeah, mahalo.
The Boogie Monster. Podcast Network.